The Utah Department of Transportation had a number of options for fixing the problem in Little Cottonwood Canyon. Buses, tolls, a rail line. Last summer, they picked one. And none of those, by the way. They chose a gondola. UDOT officials pitched the idea to lawmakers and the public. For nearly a year, they heard from both. And last month, they made a final decision. Robert Gerke of the Salt Lake Tribune says it's the latest solution for a perennial problem.
In a way, it's good to think about the Cottonwood Canyons as sort of a casualty of their own popularity. Not only is there great summer recreation up there, but there are these wildly popular ski resorts. Little Cottonwood Canyon in particular draws about 2 million visitors per year, and it has done that for more than a decade. Especially on big powder days, you would end up with these lines of cars waiting to get up the canyon, idling, neighbors complaining about the noise, about not being able to get in and out of their homes. It was an intractable, unsustainable situation. And there's been discussion of what to do about it for a number of years. In 2015, a group of Utah legislators and members of the Utah Transit Authority Board took a trip to Switzerland to see how they deal with these issues of moving people up and down the mountain. The idea going in, from what I was told, was let's see if there's an option to use a rail line up the canyon. But one of the things that I was told that they witnessed when they were there is that in these Swiss mountain towns, they'll use rail to get people to the base of the mountain, and then they'll use gondolas to get people from the base of the mountain to the resorts. Now, simultaneous to that, there was a proposal being floated by many of the resorts to try to connect the different resorts from Park City to Big Cottonwood, from Big Cottonwood to Little Cottonwood, with a chain of chairlifts called Ski Link. The notion being that then you can alleviate a lot of this congestion that way too. In 2017, the legislature was talking about imposing tolls on cars going up and down the canyon, hoping that would encourage people to get out of their cars and take the bus. But they wanted to do something more. And so they set aside some money to study the options on how to best handle Little Cottonwood Canyon. When the proposals came out, there was a bus option. There was the rail line up the canyon, which ultimately ended up being infeasible because of the steepness of the canyon. The other option was a gondola. One of the proposals was a gondola going from Park City to Snowbird and Alta, as was envisioned in Ski Link. The other one was the gondola running from the bottom of Little Cottonwood up to the resorts of Snowbird and Alta. As we know, earlier this year, that was the option that the Utah Department of Transportation decided to take. This plan for the gondola has obviously drawn a lot of opposition. There are people who argue that it only benefits a number of skiers on a limited number of days and sacrifices other recreational uses in the canyon. Rock climbers are opposed to it because it'll damage some prized rock climbing territory. Environmentalists are upset, worried about the impact on wildlife habitat and viewshed. And then there's concerns about who's going to end up paying for it. We've already seen the cost projections increase significantly from $450 million, past $500, past $600, now to $750, and likely to go up even higher. Who's going to end up paying for that? Meanwhile, proponents say it will alleviate the congestion. It will give some redundancy, so on days where there's heavy snow or there's avalanche risk, people can still get up and down the canyon. And it would be a tourist draw. I mean, people would come from miles away to view this beautiful canyon from above in a way that they've never been able to do before. Ultimately, what UDOT's decided to do is build this $750 million gondola, the largest freestanding gondola in the world that would run from the bottom to the top of one of the prized jewels of the Salt Lake Valley.
Robert Gerke. He's a columnist for the Salt Lake Tribune. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Over the next few months, we're going to spend some time talking about this decision by the Department of Transportation to build a gondola in Little Cottonwood Canyon. And today, we'll begin with some basics, talk about how we got to this point, how a gondola would work in that canyon, and what could happen between now and then to maybe stop it. Jacob Scholl joined us this week. He's a reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune and Utah Public Radio. Congestion has been a problem in the canyon for years now, but it's getting worse. And Jacob Scholl says the Department of Transportation started getting serious about a solution about 5 years ago.
In about 2018 is when the Utah Department of Transportation started kind of looking into this issue. They started what they call an environmental impact statement, and essentially that is just an in-depth study to try and figure out not only the problems but also solutions to those problems. Way back then, they started to realize that, hey, Little Cottonwood Canyon is very overcrowded. There's a traffic congestion problem. And so they started looking into that and trying to figure out, you know, hey, what's the best solution? Fast forward a couple of years later, in 2021 is when they started to narrow down their options. And that is when the option was limited, or, you know, they kind of narrowed the scope of their search. They determined that the best way to solve the traffic issues in Little Cottonwood Canyon was to build an 8 mile long gondola through the canyon. You know, you wouldn't have to rely on road conditions in order to operate it. And in theory, you would have gondola cars sailing above the roadway in Little Cottonwood Canyon and delivering skiers, riders to Snowbird and Alta.
But the problem that a gondola is supposed to fix is what? Traffic, right? Congestion. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Yeah, traffic and congestion. So when UDOT started this process, their goal was to limit traffic congestion, just people in cars going through Little Cottonwood, by 30%. That was the mark that they kind of set themselves.
You've described it as a weekend problem. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so, you know, typically ski resorts are going to be busier on Saturdays and Sundays. You know, obviously most people work during the week, and so, you know, you go to really any Utah ski resort in the middle of the week, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and typically it's going to be a lot less busy than it would be on weekends. So the vast majority of the time when there are backups through Little Cottonwood, and, you know, granted, this is happening more and more with not only the number of people that are moving to Utah, but also, you know, just the increased prevalence of people wanting to head outdoors. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of roll all that together, and a lot of the times this problem is most frequently going to occur on weekends. So, you know, Saturday, Sunday kind of thing, holiday weekends as well.
This kind of raises a question that we'll get to here in a minute, and that is, if this is a weekend problem and you've got ski season that lasts about, you know, what, 4 months, does that justify the costs that we'll also talk about here in a moment and all of the effort and all of the agita this seems to be raising with so many people for a weekend problem?
Yeah, and that's a good question. I guess it really just depends on who you're asking. You know, obviously, tourism is an enormous driver of the Utah economy. A lot of people exclusively come here to ski and snowboard. So, you know, I think that's a very valid question. And I know that's one that people have submitted to UDOT, you know, mm-hmm. kind of questioning, why build this gondola? Why, you know, overhaul a large amount of the infrastructure in that canyon? You know, why do all that? I guess I can't speak for UDOT at all, no. But I mean, that's a very legitimate question.
Right. That is one of the questions out there. Okay. So we'll come back to that in a second. How do you describe the really intense reaction when this idea of a gondola started to take shape? I mean, people are clearly energized and really invested and obviously really outspoken. I mean, you had the public submitted something like more than 50,000 comments, way more mm-hmm. than any other UDOT project. What do you think that says? I mean, beyond the kind of particulars about this project, is the gondola or is the canyon a symbol of something larger going on, do you think?
So I think that's a great question. So I think there's a couple things that go into it. I think the reason why the pushback has been so intense is because there's multiple directions. I guess there's multiple things you could look at for this project and criticize. So, you know, if you are more of an environmentalist, you can look at it and say, you know, this is going to require a great deal of construction through one of the most picturesque canyons in Utah or the West or, you know, the United States, whatever you want to say. You know, these towers would be about 150 to 250 feet tall. There would be over 22 towers going through the length of the canyon. And obviously, there's going to be serious concerns in terms of water, you know, with it being a watershed canyon. You have all these environmental aspects. You also have outdoor recreation. Every possibility that UDOT was looking at to, you know, potentially solve the traffic issues had an impact on outdoor recreation. You know, for example, you know, climbing routes, you know, some of those would be disturbed. And that's definitely an issue in the climbing community, especially with Little Cottonwood Canyon being such a destination for that sport. You could read a lot more about that with my Tribune colleague, Julie Jagg, did some really good reporting on that about a climbing group that's essentially trying to push for Little Cottonwood Canyon to be designated as a historical site, which, you know, presumably would cause more headaches for trying to put the gondola up in the first place. So you have the environmental side of that. But you also have, you know, if you are someone that really cares about the fiscal responsibility of the state of Utah, I know that's something that folks in the legislature, that's a point of pride for them. I mean, this is a project that could very easily spill over into the billion.
Yeah.
Well over a billion. I believe the most recent estimate just for the gondola alone, just to build it, as of right now, the estimate from UDOT is $728 million. And that would also include about a little over $4 million a year per year in annual upkeep.
And maybe, maybe Jacob, we should mention that's kind of a moving target. They began with, what, $550 million?
Yeah. So that number is going to slowly tick up, if I had to guess. You know, the thing that always pops in the back of my mind with the financials is the last time the state tried to build just an enormous project that the state prioritized, the new state prison is the thing that keeps popping in my head. And I remember reading every update from the Department of Corrections and the state and everything like that. And every time there's a new figure, the number would go up, and then the number of available beds, you know, the maximum beds that you could put in the state prison kept going down. Obviously, inflation is a big issue, and, you know, this is the kind of thing that's going to be a topic of discussion for years. And as that goes on, I'm sure that that price tag is going to go up.
I want to come back to this question of how we got here, you know, to the idea of not just considering a gondola for a major canyon in the state, to the point where the Department of Transportation has said, we're going ahead with this idea. When does the idea of a gondola kind of emerge among leaders? Like, where does it come from? Has something like this been tried in a place before? I mean, you know, when you think of gondolas, I have to say, at least I do, you think of Europe. So,
yeah.
So like, when does the idea of a gondola not just settle in, but start to become something that leaders are thinking about, I guess?
Yeah. So the first time that really popped up would have been between 2019 and 2020. So when UDOT was doing their environmental impact statement, they really just started throwing out a bunch of ideas and just trying to see if they were feasible, really. So that's kind of when the gondola started as a potential solution for the canyon. But that was also at the same time where you also had the state looking into, you know, expanded bus lanes, you know, widening Highway 210 to include, you know, bus-specific lanes, that sort of thing. You also had the idea of potentially a cog rail that would, you know, completely eliminate cars entirely. And, you know, you would only hop onto essentially a tracks line that would take you all the way through the canyon. So that was really when it started. And I will say
those are a lot of ideas, Jacob. Those are a lot of ideas. So, and the thing they settle on is $750 million, maybe billion-dollar gondola.
Yeah. So, as funny as it sounds, you know, according to all the materials that UDOT has put out regarding this whole thing, I do know that this would have been late summer, early fall 21. You know, when UDOT initially put out the statement saying like, hey, our preferred alternative is going to be the gondola. You know, they also went through and gave price estimates for a lot of the other options. I always kind of have to laugh because I remember reading that document and thinking the only project on that list that at that point, you know, this is also back when the gondola was estimated to be about $550 million to build.
Yeah.
But back then, UDOT basically came back and said, yeah, Cograil would be the only option on here that would be well over $1 billion. And I think that's mostly just because of how much, I don't know, I hesitate to use the word demolition, but I mean, they would basically have to carve out these rail tracks from, I mean, the entire side of the mountain. I mean, that would be, I was talking about climbing routes earlier, you know, that would be the most highly destructive option in terms of, you know, potential rock climbing routes in Little Cottonwood Canyon. So you have all these options and, you know, they all just have enormous price tags and can cause, you know, by UDOT's own admission, you know, damage the mountainside.
I want to come back to this point in a minute, but let's get a sense of what this thing will or potentially could look like, this gondola. How long is this thing? And put that in perspective. I think you said, 8 miles?
Yeah, it would be 8 miles long. It would essentially go, let's see. So it would, the base station is essentially right off of Highway 210.
Yeah.
So this is before the roads kind of converge right at the mouth of Little Cottonwood Canyon. There's a parking lot that's closer to the mouth of Little Cottonwood, and the gondola base station would be even farther back than that. So yeah, in total, it would be over 8 miles long, just a little bit over 8 miles. And you mentioned earlier how when you think gondola, you think Europe, which that's totally fair.
Yeah.
But the issue is that a lot of the gondolas in Europe are really not that long. You know, they are maybe half of this distance. And the reason why they have those gondolas in Europe is just to get people up and down mountains.
Yeah.
And you have gondolas in
other parts. Not through canyons, which have roads in them.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, you do have other gondolas in the world that are used for public transportation, but those gondolas are nowhere near 8 miles long. So, you definitely have concerns there. And not to mention the fact that, you know, it would be, like I said, 22 gondola towers, but there would also be a couple of things called angle stations, which are essentially, you know, pieces of infrastructure that just change the angle in which, you know, the gondola is going. Because, I mean, if you have towers, they all have to be in straight lines. But when you hit an angle station, it kind of changes that direction a bit. So you have those as well.
How long does it take me if I hop in one of these gondola cars? How long does it take me to get to the top of the canyon?
So it depends on who you ask, because that's another thing that's kind of been shifting. So, you know, you have gondola advocate organizations, you know, particularly Gondola Works. I think a lot of people have seen their advertisements wherever. I know one of their estimates said it would be about 35 minutes to get to Snowbird, but I think the state's estimate is probably closer to about 45 minutes to 50 minutes.
Wow.
So, you know, I'd be comfortable in saying it'd be closer to an hour, you know, if you're trying to go to Alta, for example.
And I'm in this car with how many people?
Each car would have about 35 people maximum. The other interesting thing from UDOT, which people have raised eyebrows about, and I certainly have myself, they would estimate that a gondola car would be available at the base station every 2 minutes, which just – it seems like just a lot of shuffling in and out and that sort of thing. But yeah, so
– so 35 people going in and out of a car ostensibly every 2 minutes. So how many cars in this thing?
I am no mathematician, but
– You work it out, right? Yeah. So 22 or something like that, or was it 28? How many of these gondola towers then are we going to potentially see in the canyon?
So in total, it would be 22 just regular towers. You know, two angle stations and then the three loading and unloading stations. So you have one at the base and then you have single stations at both Alta and Snowbird.
So we talked a little bit about the cost. Let's talk about where this money comes from. It's mostly public money, right?
Yeah. So as of right now, it's mostly public money. Yeah. There's a couple ways that the legislature could do this. They could just outright fund it. Mm. You know, they could bond this kind of thing out. You know, the ski resorts have been slightly willing to say that they would fund it. I did a story probably about a year ago at this point. But Snowbird owns the plot of land where the base station at the mouth of the canyon would go. Hmm. And I know in the past, Dave Fields, the general manager at Snowbird, has said that Snowbird would be willing to donate that land to the state if that's something the state would want.
But wait, that doesn't come close to $728 million.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that land is probably worth somewhere between $1 or $2 million essentially.
Yeah. I mean, come on. So, but when you say slightly be willing to fund it, is there any suggestion that the owners of Alta and Snowbird would be willing to fund this? Let's say even half. Let's say $500 million. Is that even part of the consideration, or are they just conceding that it looks like the Department of Transportation is going to manage to spend public money on this project?
As of this point, the ski resorts haven't said publicly, yes, we are willing to fund half of this gondola project. Yeah. You know, they haven't said anything like that. You know,
what have they said?
They have just been really pushing for this project to take place.
And by that, they mean take place with public money.
Exactly. Yeah. Use public money to build a piece of public infrastructure that would deliver customers directly to their front door.
Yeah. Do you think that it's the argument that's going to play out now is sort of like the one that you hear in cities where large sports arenas or stadiums are being built and public money is being used? Because like over the years, local governments, which is to say taxpayers, have paid billions with a B to fund stadium construction projects. I was looking the other day, $850 million in New York for this stadium for the Buffalo Bills that lawmakers allocated. The Virginia legislature is considering spending up to $1 billion for the Washington Commanders' new facility. Maryland is spending more than $1 billion for the Orioles and the Ravens. So where would Utah fit in the scheme of those things? And you know that argument that you hear that they make in those states is that, look, this kind of taxpayer money is a good investment. It's good economics. Are you hearing the same kind of thing here?
Yeah. So I know Governor Spencer Cox had his monthly press release not that long ago. I believe it was last Thursday. And this was something he was asked about. And he was saying that on principle, he does not like the state or local government contributing large amounts to new stadiums or large construction projects like that, that for the most part would be private. And I know something that he mentioned was essentially just as far as the local government municipalities aspects kind of thing, giving a hand through public means. So whether that's the state pitching in on establishing water lines or public transit to get to and from these kind of stadiums. But it's interesting because with this gondola project, a lot of the conversation has really just been, hey, we're going to use state money to build this thing. Hmm. And just recently, tide has shifted a little bit more toward, well, we could get the ski resorts to pitch in on this. That would be great. And at the same time, you also have lawmakers that are starting to cast doubts on the gondola being a foregone conclusion.
This question comes up. For those who oppose the gondola, is it too early to be worried about this? If it actually happened, an actual series of towers going up Little Cottonwood Canyon, that wouldn't be for at least 25 years. Is it too early, I guess, to be really getting too worried about something like that? Because there's a lot that could happen in the intervening years.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think it really depends on who you ask. I know
this is the answer to all of your questions so far, which is a good reporter's response. It's like because there are a lot of different interests playing out here, I guess.
If I was a member of the legislature that was able to pull the purse strings on this kind of thing, I'd be able to give you a better answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, so I guess it depends. So, you know, when this most recent decision came out, so with the record of decision being finalized by the Department of Transportation just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
One of the responses was from Salt Lake County Mayor Jenny Wilson, and essentially her message was, you know, this is a setback, but at the same time, a lot can happen in the next 10, 15, 20 years that could potentially render the gondola obsolete, for lack of a better word.
Right.
So people like Mayor Wilson, you also have people like Carl Fisher, the executive director of Save Our Canyons. They kind of had the same message right after the record of decision was finalized. And essentially it was putting hope in the fact that UDOT is going to be putting in, I guess, more short-term steps before breaking ground and building a gondola through Little Cottonwood Canyon.
Right.
And really their message was, hey, UDOT is committed to expanding bus services, creating tolls through for Little Cottonwood Canyon and Big Cottonwood Canyon as well. And their message was essentially saying, hey, there are these short-term solutions that UDOT is going to be putting in place. If we show the state that these short-term mitigating steps
work.
If they work through Little Cottonwood Canyon and it cuts down traffic and you don't have the dreaded red snake every time you try to go up to Snowbird every time it snows.
Yeah.
If you have these in place and you prove to the state that this works and you don't have to build an enormous gondola through Little Cottonwood Canyon, you know, that could potentially show the Department of Transportation, the governor, state lawmakers, it would show them that there are solutions to this issue that don't involve putting, 22 towers through Little Cottonwood.
Yeah, yeah. You said the short-term solutions. They also describe them as common sense solutions.
Mm-hmm.
I think you often hear that as well. And this kind of gets us to the phases of the project that I wanted you to sort of take us through. Because the way this is going to work, as I understand it, the Department of Transportation is doing this in phases. So let's talk about, it's phase three, building the towers and creating the, getting the actual gondola up there, right?
Right.
But let's talk about the phases that come before that. Phase one, this is let's talk about busing. So what's the idea here in phase one?
Yeah. So phase one would be expanding bus services through Little Cottonwood and Big Cottonwood Canyon.
Right, right.
That would be building out a little more of the bus stops at the ski resorts. It's a little unclear if they're also going to do that for some of the trailheads, through both canyons. That's probably the biggest thing with phase one, but also with that, UDOT is going to start implementing tolling through both Big and Little Cottonwood Canyons.
When would they do that? And if I'm headed up there to go to ski at Alta on a particular day, how much does it cost my car to get up there?
So the date that they are hoping to have this implemented would be the fall into the winter of 2025.
Hmm.
So, this ski season, next ski season, you'll be fine. I really doubt that they would have this sort of expanded busing and tolling up and running before 2025. That's the timeline that they're working with right now.
And 20, 30 bucks?
That's the latest estimate, yeah. And of course, that's all preliminary. UDOT's still trying to figure this kind of thing out. And the other thing that should be noted, at least for Little Cottonwood Canyon, I'm not entirely sure what the specifics with Big Cottonwood would be. But last I heard with UDOT is that they wouldn't really start the tolls until you would get about to the first parking lot at Snowbird. If you're a backcountry skier and you want to stop halfway through, more than likely that tolling is not going to be at the mouth of Little Cottonwood. And I know UDOT is also experimenting with the thought of only having the tolls on certain days. So, you know, weekends, for example, when everyone is trying to, you know, rush up there at the exact same time, there's the potential that they would really only do tolling then and use that as an incentive to potentially get people to carpool. Another thing that I've heard that they're thinking about is if a car has a certain number of people in it, maybe the toll is less, maybe they don't have to pay the toll. Really, I think the goal there is just to incentivize people to either carpool or take public transit into the canyon. And I mean, I think that also goes back to the whole idea of potentially using these common sense solutions as a way of preventing the gondola from even getting off the ground.
If you are an opponent of the gondola, there might be some incentive for you to, whereas before you would get in your car and go skiing, to like, I should take the bus.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like I said, you know, there are plenty of environmental organizations, elected officials who were really advocating for that kind of thing, whether it's, you know, you take a ride share up to any of the four resorts in Big or Little Cottonwood Canyon, or you take public transit. I mean, that's definitely a way to cut down on the amount of cars going through the canyon, congestion, that sort of thing. And, you know, that's something that groups and elected officials have been pushing for.
So in some ways, you could say that this phase one, or this earlier period before you get to the actual gondola, is kind of a test. Let's see how people actually behave before we decide if we have to get to the point of installing 200-foot towers in a small canyon in Utah.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a fair judgment of it. I know there are plenty of municipalities who would say that sometimes it's kind of hard to incentivize people to use public transit for whatever reason. But I know it's definitely going to be something that people are going to be pushing for in the next year or two, and, you know, definitely beyond that, when presumably when expanded busing and tolling would be in place for both Big and Little Cottonwood.
And I guess we should say phase one is the only of these phases. Phase two and phase three is widening the Wasatch Boulevard. It's building snow sheds, those kinds of things. But phase one, the bus part, the tolling idea, that's the only one that's actually funded right now by the legislature. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. So this past legislative session, attached to a funding bill, I believe it was Senate Bill 2, allocated $150 million to UDOT for phase one, like you said, and, you know, busing, tolling, that sort of thing. So that's the only thing that's been paid for. I will say that I know the idea of a gondola being, you know, 10, 15, 20, even maybe 25 years out, that's seeming more and more likely. But potentially, with the record of decision being finalized like it is now, in theory, the legislature could fund the gondola as soon as next legislative session. But in terms of priority, I mean, you know, they have this phased approach. It would make a lot of sense if they finish up phase one, they fund phase two, they do all that, they widen Wasatch Boulevard, they build out all of these snow sheds, and then they, you know, tackle phase three, which would be building the gondola.
So I wanted to ask you about this question that came up in one of your pieces. You were talking to Carl Fisher of Save Our Canyons, and he used these terms that I wanted you to explain. He said that by going ahead with this gondola, and this is how he put it to you in the piece, the state is favoring industrialized recreation and ignoring dispersed recreation. What does he mean by that, and what's the difference there?
You know, I think this is something that definitely merits talking about a bit more. I think what Carl was getting at, I think it kind of speaks to the larger trend out west. You know, however long ago, you know, you had the idea of the ski bum, you know, a guy who lives out of the back of his truck and, you know, works odd jobs at ski resorts so he can get turns in every single day. Yeah. You know, you have that idea of, you know, living out in the mountains and living simply. And as we've seen, I mean, really everywhere in the West, I mean, you can go look at any ski town right now, whether it's, you know, Telluride, Colorado, or, you know, Park City. You know, maybe Park City has always been a little more upscale, but I think it really speaks to the fact that you have not only more and more people moving out West, you have more people moving out West and utilizing all of these outdoor options, you know, outdoor recreation. And there's a lot of money in that. I mean, like, you could look to Park City and just look at the median home price.
Yeah.
You know, instead of having this idea of, you know, kind of the ski bum lifestyle, you have a state potentially putting hundreds of millions of dollars to get more people in and out of ski resorts. And that's something that, you know, 10 years ago, I don't know if that would have really been an option. And, you know, here we are having this gondola debate.
Well, and it gets us to another big question in this story, and that is, who is it that's benefiting from this? And does a gondola privilege just a small section of Utahns, really two ski resorts and people who can afford to ski there? Your colleague at the Tribune, Robert Gerke, he's been writing about this. And one of the things he said is that this is what we do in Utah. It's kind of part of the Utah way. He said that when Utah sees rich people struggling to do, you know, whatever it is that they want to do, the state steps in to sort of ease that pain. And this is what the gondola is doing, he's saying. It's this handout to rich people so they can ski, you know, more easily. That's one thing. But the other thing he said is, like, no matter where you live, like, let's say you live in Kanab or in Daggett County, or you're in the West Desert of the state, and there are a lot of people in this state who live in places like that that have never skied a day in their lives. And there are people who live near ski resorts who just can't afford the, you know, $100 plus that it costs for a day pass. So is there any reason to believe that this gondola is, as Robert says, just kind of a handout to the rich and lawmakers greasing the skids for an industry like that? Like, what are the supporters, I guess, of the gondola saying about this argument?
I think it's fairly safe to say that it makes a lot of sense why people are not happy with the idea of this project, because, you know, like you said, this would be a project that would be hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money that would go to, you know, ostensibly service to private ski resorts, for-profit ski resorts. And I think it's fairly safe to say that the majority of Utahns would likely never ride on this gondola because, you know, sure, I understand that the majority of people in the state live along the Wasatch Front, and that's fine. But you bring up a good point, you know, residents of Kanab or St. George that are, you know, trying to just get by with what they have, you know, those would be the same people that would have their tax dollars go and fund this massive infrastructure project that would only deliver riders to two private ski resorts. And I know, you know, what supporters have said is that regardless of what anyone does, people are going to want to go to Little Cottonwood Canyon, whether that is in the summer to try and look at all the wildflowers or go hiking. I know I certainly like hiking up to White Pine. I understand why people want to do that. But, you know, supporters really say that there's a lot of people who depend on the outdoor industry, especially the ski industry, and this would be a way of trying to fix the problem that UDOT has prioritized. You know, like I said earlier, it's trying to reduce the number of cars going through Little Cottonwood Canyon by 30%. And the ski resorts have said in the past that really any of the solutions that UDOT comes up with, they would support. Because, you know, again, at the end of the day, this is just a way of getting people to their resorts more efficiently.
Carl Fisher of Save Our Canyons again, he said this to you. He said the construction of the gondola through Little Cottonwood Canyon would, and this is how he put it, would undoubtedly destroy the canyon. What does he mean by that?
I think if UDOT was to go forward with this project, irreparably change Little Cottonwood Canyon, because, you know, it would be one thing if you wanted to, I don't know, widen the roadway for bus dedicated lanes. But with a piece of infrastructure like a gondola, I mean, I've said this before, but there are 22 gondola towers. Each of those towers, I believe, at minimum would be well over 100 feet tall.
Yeah. And some, you know, well over 200 too.
Absolutely. And I think what Carl meant by that was really when those towers go up and when this gondola is built, there's really no turning back. You know, ostensibly, hey, maybe 100 years from now, if after they put up the gondola, they realize, hey, this is something we should take down. I mean, taking down a 100-foot steel tower is not an easy thing to do. And you would also have to do that 21 more times and then have to deal with the base stations, angle towers. So I think it is fair to say that if this project would be built, it really would change the landscape in Little Cottonwood Canyon forever, really.
And here's the question, too. Would it fix the problem? Would a gondola just bring more people into the canyon? What do we know about that, I guess?
Again, that's a fair question, because with the amount of people not only that come to Utah to specifically to ski, but also the people moving to Utah in just incredible numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a fair question. You know, would this actually reduce traffic in the canyon by 30%? But also, you know, 10 years from now, what if there's so many people that move here specifically for the outdoor industry that reducing cars by 30% is not enough anymore? I've certainly heard from, you know, my friends that live out of state that definitely go skiing. They look at a gondola and say, oh, that would be cool. I would ride that. I would pay money to go onto that. Mm. And, you know, so you would potentially run into the idea of even more people trying to get through Little Cottonwood Canyon. And, you know, that's with the way that, kind of calling back to the industrialization of the outdoor industry, you have more and more people skiing. You know, you have things like the Icon Pass and the Epic Pass, and you give people more incentives to fly to different areas of the country and go to ski resorts that they haven't gone to before. Yeah, it's interesting. I would love to be able to peer into a crystal ball and tell you just how much the state's going to grow and, you know, what winters are going to be like in, you know, 10, 15 years. But, it really just remains to be seen.
Well, we have seen the projections. I mean, for example, one of the projections is that Salt Lake County is going to grow by about 500,000 people by 2060. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you think, I mean, casting a shadow over all of this does seem to be that larger question of how growth is going to change what it's like to live here, where we take for granted access to go see the wildflowers on an August evening. That may change.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting because I feel like, especially after the pandemic and during the pandemic, you had a lot of people moving to Utah essentially just to get outside.
Yeah.
And since then, you know, there's just been a noticeable uptick in the amount of people who are moving to Utah for the outdoor industry, or, you know, to get outside. So, I mean, you know, if that trend continues, you know, pairing that with the fact that, like you said, I mean, Salt Lake County is going to at least projected to grow substantially in the next 10 years. It's really interesting to see where this could go.
Hmm. So you mentioned before how you have people like Mayor Wilson of Salt Lake County who, in some ways, kind of feels a little hopeful about these common sense solutions that could come from this this gondola project. And in some ways, do you think that this gondola could, at least the conversation about it, end up being something good for those who oppose it, and that it really does spur action on some of those other solutions for the congestion? And maybe, I guess, Jacob, that people just will stop taking those canyons, that particular canyon, for granted in the way that we always have, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly hope that more people become more conscious of the outdoor spaces in which they recreate. I mean, you know, I just as a personal anecdote, I mean, yesterday my significant other and I drove through Big Cottonwood Canyon. We hiked up to Lake Blanche and just the amount of trash I see every once in a while just, you know, kind of it always rubs me the wrong way. I've always tried to be a pack in, pack out kind of person. You know, I hope that this sort of thing does resonate in people's minds, that they should, I guess, pay more attention to the landscapes in which they're recreating in and trying to make sure that what they're doing is as beneficial as it can be to the space that they're in. I really hope that's the case.
Jacob Scholl, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Doug.
Jacob Scholl, he covers Northern Utah for the Salt Lake Tribune and Utah Public Radio. You can find a link to his reporting at radiowest.org. Radio West is a production of KUER. You can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. If you have ideas or comments, you can send us an email to radiowest.org. Our producers are Benjamin Bombard and Tim Slover. Carrie Watson is our executive producer. I'm Doug Fabrizio.